One of the things you can do in the eminence area is float the Jack's Fork or the current river. So you give old Harry, or was it Harold? Harold's canoe and floats. What was it, Harold?
Harold.
Harold. You give old Harvey. You give old Harvey $20, and he gives you this airfield tractor tire tube, and you get to float the river. And you may go forward, or you may go backward, or you may go sideways, or you may not have a clue which way you're going. And all of a sudden, you're tangled up in the root ball of that cottonwood tree that fell down, and it flips you over, and you get a hole, and somebody has to come rescue you, and what a good time. One mark of Christian authenticity is discontentment with anything but the fullness of God. The mark of who we are is that we can become discontented with everything but, or excuse me, with anything less than the fullness of God. I want to be filled completely with God. Ephesians 3 and 19 tells us that. Drifting down the river of spirituality is not good. Drifting in self-contentment is not like basking in a pool of security, but rather it's like floating down that river backwards, not knowing that there's a waterfall ahead. We must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us to give the more earnest heed so that you do not drift away. It's fun to drift down an eminence. In our spiritual life, drifting should not be something that we do. So there is a holy discontentment that we can have. And it's not that nail-biting insecurity or understanding or misunderstanding of our standing with God, our relationship with Him, but rather it's the increased appetite, this discontentment of where I'm at spiritually. It's this increased appetite because we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. It's the pursuit of those who have been pursued and have been captured by the strong arms of the love of God. And we become discontent spiritually where we're at in our lives. And we want to see something more, something better for us. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold by Christ Jesus. I press on. I lay hold of those things that have been given to me in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:12. Consider the following passages with me this morning that will help us wake up our drowsy souls and feel a pure and holy dissatisfaction that will pursue us or stir us up to pursue all the fullness of God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. It says here, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in knowledge of God." Are you spiritually dissatisfied with your knowledge of the Lord? Have you ever gotten into one of those conversations like we talked about in class this morning, and you didn't know the answer? Or maybe you knew the answer, but you couldn't find it in the Scripture. I know it's in here. And you almost were embarrassed because the other person just walked all over you with his opinions and comments, and you couldn't prove anything scripturally. Are you dissatisfied with where you're at in your knowledge of the Lord? That's good if you are, because you want to pursue greater things in your spiritual life. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he goes on to say something else there at the end of that text. Let's turn there. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Let's start in verse 17. That's where I wanted to go. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, whenever we get to drifting along in our spiritual lives, and we don't have these little dissatisfactions that help us pursue then greater things spiritually, we have the chance of falling away from our own steadfastness. We got to keep going. We got to keep pursuing. We got to keep working. We got to gain more knowledge. We've got to gain more knowledge. We just can't drift along, or we can lose what we have. And not only having that knowledge, but as Colossians told us, then it produces fruit. There's fruit that comes from that. If I don't have the knowledge that God wants me to have, then it's hard for me to show my love for God in some ways. It's hard for me to produce that fruit for others to see. And that's what people need to see. Yeah, they need to hear the word of the Lord. They need to have the opportunity to study this and read this. But if they don't see anybody doing it, there's no example for them to follow. Are you dissatisfied with your spiritual knowledge and the fruit that you are producing? That's something to consider whenever it comes to the danger of drifting away. Secondly, Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you dissatisfied with the level of hope that you have in your life? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust this sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Where's your hope at? Are you dissatisfied with where your hope's coming from? Is your hope based upon the next raise that you'll get at work? The 401k is being padded? Is your hope based on the physical, the sweet physical things of this life? Is that what we're leaning on? Or is it on Jesus' blood and His righteousness? Is your hope based upon the relationships that you're having on this physical earth? And the emotional pleasure and the physical pleasure that someone may bring you? Is your hope based upon all those things that will fly away in the end? Rather, I want my hope to become something that anchors me. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, when talking about Jesus Christ as being our Savior and being that great high priest and giving us hope, the writer of Hebrews says this. And he talks about God's consistency there too, and that He can't lie. And this is what the writer says. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. The hope that comes through Jesus Christ. Are you dissatisfied with where your hope's at? The hope that comes through Jesus Christ is the only hope that will give you a firm, solid, foundational anchor that holds firm. Everything else in this life will release. Everything else will give us then a feeling of dissatisfaction. There's only satisfaction in the hope that comes through Christ our Lord. So we need to have knowledge. Are you dissatisfied with where your knowledge level's at? Are you dissatisfied with what your hope is in? Are you dissatisfied? I don't want to look at this as a negative way. I want this to be a positive thing to consider. That's a positive dissatisfaction, not a negative. Thirdly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. We'll stick right here for a couple, three verses. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. We'll start in verse 11. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Are you dissatisfied with the level of love that you have with your brothers and sisters? Are you dissatisfied with the level of relationship that you have with one another? That's a good dissatisfaction to have, because you recognize that you need to fall in love deeper and deeper together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 10 says, indeed you do so toward, he complimented them on their love, but he says, indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Are you dissatisfied with the level? Are you ready to increase the love that you have for one another? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds towards one another. And then Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, in this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in all knowledge and discernment. If we're dissatisfied with the love that we have for one another on this earth, then we need to do something about that. And we need to take the next step to become closer in Christ Jesus. I like John Morris's comment last week at the Labor Day meeting. He said, you know what? You spend time with those that you love. You spend time with those that you love. Think about who you're spending time with. Those are the ones that you're loving. Second Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 18. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Says this, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image of His glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Are you satisfied, are you dissatisfied, let's put it that way, with how you have transformed yourself? You work in the power line industry, there's transformers all over. What a transformer does is it's just this big can, you've all seen them, I'm sure, that has no moving parts inside. It's a steel core that has windings inside of it. And because of a turn ratio of the windings from the primary to the secondary side, we see a transformation of high voltage to low voltage, or vice versa, low voltage to high voltage. You don't really see any physical change on the outward appearance of anything. But rather, there is an internal change that takes place. A transformation. Are you dissatisfied with what, how you have been transformed? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to the Lord, which is His reasonable service. Do you not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing... Oh, we got to change our body, right? Transformed by the renewing of your... mind. It's an internal thing that takes place. Are you dissatisfied with how you've been transformed? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul lists a nasty list of sins. All sins nasty, but these are kind of nasty sins. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, hatred, all these he lists, and then he says, such were some of you. What happened to these people? They were transformed. their minds changed. And because of their minds changing, their lives changed. Are you dissatisfied with where you're at in your transformation? And my last comment this morning will come from the book of Acts in chapter 6. Are you dissatisfied with the growth of the church? Acts chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "The word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." Acts chapter 16 and verse 5. "So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily." 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more." Are you dissatisfied with what is happening in the church? With the growth, spiritual growth, numerically? Now, there's Bible studies taking place. There's things happening behind the scenes. But you personally, are you dissatisfied with what you're doing for the kingdom of the Lord? There's always opportunity to teach in one way or another. There's opportunity to share. And we need to consider, if we're just drifting along in our spiritual lives, we're not causing any growth in the body of Christ. We've got to have knowledge and be producing some fruit. If we do gain more knowledge, we're going to have more hope, because we understand more clearly the blessings of God. And because we have hope, then we will share our love with one another. And we will become closer and closer to each other in love. And we will transform ourselves from this fleshly person into a spiritual being, imaging, looking like Christ Jesus, as if we're looking in the mirror at Him. And it will cause growth within the body of Christ because of the life that we are living. If you're here this morning, I pray that you're encouraged by these thoughts. It wasn't to be discouraging. Rather, it was to make you consider your discontentment with where you're at spiritually. Let's grow together, brethren. If you have a need this morning, make it known as we sing a song of encouragement.